epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with All Trails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Shador is starting on Friday. We set the expectations now. With Cleveland.com, you know him, you love him. Lance Reisland joining us on the fan hotline. He's been out of camp alongside us as well. Lance, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
I've lost the ability to speak. I'm just speechless because of the she opportunity here with Shador Sanders. What are your expectations for Shador on Friday?
Well, it's been quite the topic of, people have been talking about a little bit over the last couple hours here. So here's my thought. What I'm looking for as a coach is I want to see what they give him. And what I mean by that is I want to see what kind of like pre-snap movement they give him, what kind of motions, what kind of formations. I want to see what defenses he, you know, obviously early in the preseason, all teams are basic, but even in the NFL, because they got to get ready to play so fast and get ready to game one, you know, are they rotating coverages? Are they bringing multiple fronts, multiple blitzes? Is he able to pick those things up? I want to see what formations he's been good at. You know, I thought he had his best couple stretches the last couple days at camp. He also, you know, some of the concerns people have had with him have shown up. So I'm looking for just like, what are they giving him both from the Browns perspective and from Carolina's perspective that would allow him to kind of progress and kind of take the next step in running an offense?
Is Wednesday more important than Friday for you? Is he'll be playing a lot against the ones in the joint practice against the Panthers too?
Oh, absolutely. I think those joint practices, I'll be out in Philly and I won't be at the game. I'll be at the two practices. Practices where, you know, you're not filming. They're pretty, you know, they're pretty secret about what they're doing, but that's when you get like, you're going to get the ones-on-ones and inside run and blitz pickup, and you're going to see all these things. You're going to see live action around you. So even though those quarterbacks won't get hurt, that's the first time they're going to see a clouded window, right? They're going to see guys flying around them with coverage and things like that. So those 7-on-7, even those 7-on-7s, those are highly competitive because they're trying to go. That's the first time they're going against a different color jersey, and it gets really intense, and it'll be faster than they even have seen in camp. Even though they've picked it up a ton in camp, but that Wednesday for sure. Now, that being said, JP, that these preseason games, I think, are more important for the Browns than they have been in years, just because I think all these reps really matter to a lot of these guys.
All right, Lance, you and I have talked quite a bit. I know you and JP have talked a lot a bit about just the ecosystem on offense, what they're trying to do here. What are you looking forward to? I mean, I know we talked a lot about the Shador part of this. For the rest of them, what do you want to see out of that first team offense or the starters that we do see out there, the big time players we see on Friday?
Well, two things. One is I want to see the identity, right? Are they getting that identity back with the double teams and trying to move those defensive tackles backwards and trying to be physical? And that's really hard to do against the Browns because they're a gap penetrating team. So they just get upfield. So I'm interested to see them go and get a Carolina team that doesn't penetrate as much as, you know, Mason Graham and Malik Collins and see if they can get some movement there. I'd also like to see them. Can they stop the run? With that first front seven, you know, how good is Carson Schlesinger? Because I've been very impressed with him in camp. And that's kind of my first thought process. Can they get that identity back? Can they run the ball on first down between the tackles? And can they stop the run? And then again, you know, I think some of the things that people have echoed, you know, they got to create more turnovers, that one high safety, right? Kazee, Jenkins, Hickman, who's going to be that guy with Delpit who can create some turnovers? You want to see some backup linemen. I'm interested to see Sampson. I think he's done some pretty good things in camp. I also think Jerome Ford has done some good things in camp. Obviously, the quarterback position will take care of itself. But I think there's some depth issues. But more than anything else, schematically, I think that all goes away. They got to find out who they are identity-wise. Are they trying to be a tough physical football team that's going to win games close in the fourth quarter? Because I think that's their best chance.
Independent of what Stefanski does, what would you do with the preseason game number one as far as the starters? How long are you playing them? How long are they remaining in the game for?
Well, for me, it's always, it's can we get in a rhythm and do what we, you know, it's like, it's an idea of balance, right? People always say 50-50 run balance. That's not really balance. Balance is doing what you want to do when you want to do it as an offensive coordinator. So for me, can we get into balance, you know, 8 to 12 plays, maybe a drive or two? I do think this is a team that you can go a little bit longer with some of your guys who you think are going to be starters. Obviously, you have guys that you don't get banged up and have been around a long time. But there also has to be, you know, at this point in time, when you struggle to win games, you got to do things a little bit differently, right? So maybe if they have to play a little bit longer because they got to, you know, one of the things they struggled with getting off the slow starts and things like that. And you can't just say it, you got to go do it. So maybe they give them 8 to 12 plays or they say, hey, listen, if we can get in a good drive, we'll keep you guys in there or whatever it is. But there's got to be some sense of like movement forward, right? We didn't have any penalties. We, everybody, you know, we got beat. It's okay to get beat, but we didn't have any blown assignments kind of deal. So I think it's just progression. But you also want to lead, that first group wants to lead the field knowing that they got some things done that they expected to get done going into that Friday scrimmage.
Lance Reisland, Cleveland.com on the fan hotline here, not just on Cleveland.com. He's going to be with us throughout football season and, of course, as part of the pregame shows there with JP. Specific to the defense, there's been a lot of hype, a lot of talk about the defense returning to form of 2023. Is the hype real so far with this Browns defense?
Well, I would say this. Their front seven is about as good as I've seen in a while, right? And I think they've really improved those defensive tackles. Not only are they I'm a big guy. They've had some great DTs, but these guys, Mason Graham and Malik Collins, and even Shelby Harris, he's the guy who comes in late because he's such a big body. These are guys that fit the Schwartz scheme. They're guys who can anchor in there. They're both 300 pounds, but these are guys that can move. And now I think Alex Wright has made a huge step up, and he can play down inside as well. Isaiah McGuire's looked very good in camp. Obviously, Miles is Miles. And then Schlesinger has really, I don't want to say you're never replacing JOK, but he gives you that green dot kind of veteran, plays way older than his years. And that allows Baker and Diabate and the rest of these linebackers to kind of run around. I think the key for the defense, once again, is can they get that free safety if it dealt with down the box? That guy's got to create some turnovers. And that starts with that front, you know, that front eight that they got, that eight deep on the defensive line creating pressure. Because if they can win on first down, now they're in their wheelhouse, right? They can pass rush and they can cover with those good corners and maybe get some turnovers. So, I think the defense is as advertised, and especially Ward's been outstanding at the corner. But that depth of that defensive line has been super impressive to me.
Coach, you've been at just about every practice. Our own Daryl Ryder, he kicked the hornet's nest a couple days ago and making the suggestion that Dylan Gabriel is nothing more than a 7-on-7 quarterback is what he said. And then he went as far as to say is not an NFL starting quarterback as well. Is your read on what Daryl had to say, does it align or do you see it differently?
You know, I see it differently, but I will say this. I always appreciate people who are there every single day and you're trying to watch every single rep or whatever it is. So everybody's got a little different view. For me, I see a lot more than just the product. Unfortunately, in the NFL, at all levels of football, the product is. So for quarterbacks completing the pass, well, I also saw Dylan Gabriel. He did a really nice job of setting protections. His footwork is very good. So the process part is very, very good. He didn't throw the ball well. Days 8, 9, and 10, he threw the ball very, very poorly. And that's the reality of it. And regardless of how good your process is, you have to have that final product, the result. And he did not have that the last 3 days. But no, for me, I'm not putting with all these guys, as good as Schlesinger's been or Mason Graham, it doesn't matter until you get into Friday night. It doesn't matter until you get to live action against other team. And you see how you, that's why guys like me are always wrong with quarterbacks, because you can't measure that it factor. You can't measure when the lights really go on. And, you know, is Shador more of a gamer than he is a practice player, even though he's been good in practice, and can Dylan because he's seen so much football and et cetera, you know, all those kind of things. It does not matter until you start getting live action. So, you know, I look forward to talking with you guys, you know, down the road here and see how they're progressing when they're seeing other colored jerseys, because that's going to be the key. Everybody can look good right now. Everything is scripted. Everything is still kind of, you know, easy for them in terms of like the panic and let's see how a guy reacts when he gets knocked on the ground and things like that. So it'll be interesting moving forward. But I definitely want to see it in live action first.
Lance, obviously we know the big names here. Miles Garrett, Denzel, you know, we even Shador to some degree. When it comes to some of the names that impressed you here in camp that might not be household names yet, what are some of the names that come up that you've really been impressed by in this camp?
Well, you know, it's not a local hometown guy, but Luke Florio has been outstanding out of Manor. He has been really good in the slot for what they need. He's really undersized, and I'm interested to see how that plays out when he gets in real life game competition. This Gage Larvadan has been very, very good at receiver, along with Jamari Thrash. So is Caden Davis. Now, I don't know if any of these guys are high-level NFL guys, but they give the Browns a little bit different, because I do think Sed Tillman and Jerry Jeudy are going to be very good outside if Tillman can stay healthy. But those guys have been very good, and I think they give the, you know, Jamari Thrash coming, you know, he's the draft pick, and Gage has been a guy making tons of plays, and Luke has been really, really good in the slot. So they got some guys. I'm interested to see those guys play. I think even though he's a household name, I think DeJuan Jones is going to be a guy that I've been really impressed with just because of his physical fitness. I've been super impressed with the offensive line as a whole, just the physically the way they look. They all look a lot leaner. They're all the same, weight's the same. They've distributed the weight, more muscle this year. They look really lean. So I'm looking forward to the offensive line getting off the ball, running that wide zone and those gap schemes, and seeing if they can kind of get back into that rhythm that they had a couple years ago running the ball. But I would say just, you know, looking for that depth on the offensive line, the what are they going to do after the receiver, the, you know, and then the guy who just kind of fits this mold perfectly and I think is being a perfect Kevin fit is Harold Fannin. He's a guy who's really been impressive with his ability to play multiple positions and do different things.
Away from the Browns, I want to ask you about Bears quarterback Caleb Williams, and I want to ask you whether or not you think he's a little too emotional, or whether or not a quarterback can be as emotional as it seems like Caleb Williams is. Like the viral clip that's going around right now is him missing a couple 5-yard passes against air into a screen. He just missed them all, and then he turned around and he just yelled really abruptly and loudly. But it seems like it's a common theme with him, is just in certain moments just letting his emotions run too high. Is that something that you'd actually look at with a quarterback and say, okay, this isn't great? Or is it the type of thing that you just got to let him play and it really isn't that big of a deal?
Well, for me, it's kind of like it goes back to like Miles, right? You can't make somebody they're not. As long as they're being true to who they are. If you're a fiery, competitive guy, and that's how you are with everything. So if he's a guy that doesn't like to lose in anything he's playing, if he's playing ping, you know, that's who he is. If he's an ultra competitor and that's who he is, you kind of learn to deal with that, right? But when a guy gets outside of his character, that's when it can affect his thought process, especially at the quarterback position. So if he's a fiery guy and he's always been that way, then you kind of, you know, making sure to a certain extent, but you kind of let him ride with that because that's who he is. But when a guy is part of his ability, you know, to process information and stay calm, now that guy gets fired up. Now you're starting to think, is he going to affect the team because his brain isn't working quite correctly because he's so hot and bothered. So I think as long as a guy stays within who he is, and how he's always played and his competitive nature and what it allows, you know, whatever your personality has allowed you to think at the highest level to allow you to react. Because once again, if your brain's working, your feet aren't moving and you lose in the NFL. So for me, it's all about just making sure that you stay within your character, and usually everybody will adjust to it that way.
Lance Reisland, Coach Riz, Cleveland.com, the 92.3 The Fan Tailgate Show. Make sure to follow him at Lance Reisland on social media. Coach, great stuff, buddy, and really appreciate you. And also, just your, you know, hanging out at camp with us. Appreciate that, bud.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. I look forward to seeing you soon.
Very much. The great Lance Reisland there on the Fan Hotline. We'll react to what he had to say about the Browns, the preseason opener, and we have to get to the Red Hot Gardos in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. They're two games above 500.
Well, yeah, I mean, they had to erase all that damage from that 10-game losing streak.
Yeah.
But they have. They've been able to bounce back, and they've been able to get themselves in the win column on a consistent basis. Now, the schedule has been easier as of late. Mm-hmm. The roadblock I have, Nick, and this is what's hard for me, and I don't mean to make any sort of, you know, pessimistic outlook on this, but it's reality. Forget the easier, soft side of the schedule. Just the teams that are in the wild card right now, Red Sox, Yankees, and the Mariners, I don't see the Red Sox going anywhere, but that'd be the one you'd have to bet on. Yankees, maybe the injury to Judge, and you throw a couple things in the mix, but ultimately, the way Seattle attacked the deadline in not only getting Naylor, but getting Suarez as well. Like, it's an uphill battle. You're going to have to finish, I would say, 7-8 games above 500 at the end of the season. Do you think the Guardians can get there? That'd be the bet.
So, I think they can. I mean, I think the gap is so insignificant. 2.5 games with, what, 50-some games to go. It's just, I mean, really, to stay in this, it's just don't screw it up. Like, if you keep winning series more often than not, and we're talking like if you win four out of every five series, mm-hmm. I think you're going to be right there in the thick of it in the final week of the season. And then I think all bets are off because it's the last week of the season. We'll see how it goes down.
I mean, I'm hopeful that it comes down to the final couple weeks of the season, and then it just kind of plays its way out. The baseball god portion of me always wants to reward teams like the Rangers who made a real effort at the deadline and adding some starting pitching. You want to reward the teams like the Mariners that added the two big bats the way that they did. Like, the Guardians' process on this has not been the way that the baseball god should reward necessarily, but it'd be cool if they were able to stay in it for a little bit.
Yeah, to me, I think Stephen Vogt is clearly overmanaging, and you and I have both talked about that for 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So Steven is still frustrating from moment to moment. He's still doing things that it feels like might be getting in the way. But if this locker room sticks together through that 10-game losing streak into this stretch and they make a playoff push from here and actually erase this 2.5-game deficit and they're in the playoffs, I just think that's an incredible mark of an organization that went through a lot. Like, they shouldn't be here. With as bad as the offense was, with as much as that 10-game streak should have killed them.
And throw in the fact that two of their best players are out because of gambling-related issues.
And oh, by the way, that should be a massive, massive issue of just the dynamics in the clubhouse, whether you can trust each other or not.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that in spite of all of that nonsense, like, to me, like, it's fair to say, well, they're playing better, the schedule got a lot lighter. That's fair to say.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
They've also overcome so much in the last 30 days, 35 days, 40, 45 days. At some point, I just have to sit back and say, whatever you do from here, if you're in the playoffs at the end of this, I mean, kudos to Stephen Vogt, kudos to the front office. Whether you did what I wanted to do or not at the deadline, landing on the plane on this is an incredible accomplishment. And I actually give them a decent chance to do it. Like, they're still only two games above 500, but if that staff can stay healthy, they're going to have a chance to stick into it.
Fangraphs right now has them at a 17% chance, and that feels about right to myself.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably say a little bit, like maybe 25% chance.
Either way, like close to, let's call it then, you said like 25. They say, yeah, let's call it a 1-4, somewhere around there. Like, again, I do think your first assessment is the right one. This will probably come down to the final week of the season where they'll be close enough, and then we can consider it from there. And if that's how this ends up going down, you know, final couple weeks, whatever it is, that's a real win for the Guardians.
And so if they are in it at the end, that means they're probably, I think the Red Sox are 8 games above 500 right now. So let's say they have to get
Red
to...
Red Sox are 12 games above 500, but the Yankees and the Mariners are seven games above 500.
That's really embarrassing. I am a little dyslexic. However, so it's 12 games above 500. Let's say they get to 8, right?
Yeah.
From here, you're 2 games above 500. To climb 6 extra games when you've got... heck, what, 10 series left? No, probably closer to 13 or 14 series left. I just continue to come back to what's going to have to happen is the offense has to continue to do what they're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not murderer's row, But everybody's kind of pitching in. Jose, and I met Matt Underwood spot on this earlier when he said Jose had a bad night last night, and you still were able to get multiple runs in that game.
That's what we typically see is like Jose shouldn't have to be Superman every single night. Like Arias, you saw how much he pimped out that home run last night. But it needs guys like that. It needs guys like Arias who had a four RBI night and just looked awesome to consistently step up.
So you need all of that from the offense where you don't have to be great. We just need all hands on deck kind of situation. The rotation needs to stay healthy, which is most important. So whether it's Gavin, Ciccone, Logan Allen's actually been more serviceable. We kind of got to figure out what the hell's going on with Tanner Bibee. If these five guys can stick with it, though, that and I think just kind of a makeshift approach here, guys like Enright sticking up in the bullpen. Gattis has always scared the crap out of me.
You've been calling for Gattis for 3 weeks now.
I think Cade Smith locking into the closer role in the second half. I think it's
doable. Last night got dicey for him, too.
He's had a couple since switching to the bullpen, switching to the closer's role. That's okay. There's going to be an adjustment there. We don't think about that because he's just got great stuff and he's kind of been your high leverage guy earlier in games, all around games. It is different. It is different when you know, hey, your number could be called in the fifth inning, the sixth inning, the seventh inning, and eighth inning. When you know, hey, if you're going into this game, it'll be in the ninth or tenth inning. But I think there's the roadmap there. And I think it's just more of what they've been doing the last 24 games.
They've gotten themselves in an interesting spot. My expectations are zero. And I think that's a good thing for them, by the way, that like everyone's expectations have kind of come back down to earth. And now so they get to play with the idea that if they just get to a spot where they're contending in the final couple weeks, we're all going to look at that as a big time win. I mean, just think about the setup you had for that. For them to be two games over 500 with everything they've gone through this year, it really is incredible.
Well, and here's the thing. I love the low expectations talk because that is where it should be. Until proven otherwise, you're a 500 team. I don't see anything that they've done in the last 24 games that I don't think they can keep doing. But again, it's 24 games versus, 100 games? 90 games? Like, where we're kind of playing the reverse of last year. I mean, here's the thing. If they're in the playoff hunt the final week, it's a significant accomplishment. If they make the playoffs, it's a slightly bigger accomplishment. If they make it to the divisional round, I mean, just making that next step of a series in and of itself is a huge accomplishment. And I kind of like being in that situation where, because you've been through the vitriol and the disappointment, now it's just let's let this thing play out, see where it goes, and let's see if you can build something tangible going forward, and maybe that winning environment fosters, maybe all of a sudden you shake free and Arias is your everyday shortstop going forward. Maybe there's a spot, by the way, Rocchio's played really well since coming back from Columbus.
Yeah, no, he did.
Maybe now you have your up the middle of the infield kind of set there between Rocchio and Arias, no matter how many you set it. I think there's an opportunity for Bo Naylor. Bo has hit for more power recently. I think he's hit 11 home runs. So there's plenty of opportunities for young bats to distinguish themselves going into 2026. I'm okay if that's the stakes. Like, hey, it's great if you make a playoff push, but let's see who can really see who's going to be here next year and who won't.
I'm going to be curious to see. I think if you told people what's the story of this year outside of the mega story with the gambling and everything associated with that, I think they'd talk about the frustration with the platoons and the frustration with the idea that it's just J-Ram and Kwan that get the everyday at-bats and that's it on this team. And I'll be curious to see if maybe over the next 30 days or so, the Guardians kind of kick that to the curb and do a more traditional approach, at least for some more pieces in this lineup.
So, I think the platoons are still going to piss people off. I don't think Kafis is getting the full nod in right field. Sorry. That's just that they don't seem to be doing that. I think we're going to see between Schneeman, Angel Martinez, Rocchio, and Arias, there's some mix of center field, shortstop, and second base. The one that I just think, like, all right, you're going down the stretch. You need more pop in the lineup.
Manzardo.
I mean, Manzardo with 18 home runs. Like, give the, just... It's not going to happen because there's 50 games left in the season or 50-some games in the... But, like, just give the kid a run and see if he can just... Because him solidifying himself as, one, an everyday player, but, two, as your cleanup hitter, that is a huge piece that you then don't have to answer going forward.
Well, but it's so odd because they're so close to the wild card, and I'm sitting here, and I want to be the person that's like... I don't need to see Carlos Santana ever play baseball again at this point. And I truthfully don't. I've advocated for a while. I don't need to see him hit anymore at all. If it means Manzardo gets everyday opportunities, that's what I want to see instead. But it also then I fall short and I'm like, well, it doesn't really hurt that much anyway, does it? And that's that mentality right there is not something you have if you're in the driver's seat and you're already in a great position to have a wild card opportunity.
So I don't think this sweet spot here where, they're in a nice spot, but you don't control your own destiny. I can last for another three series. If you win the next three series, you finish off the series win against the Mets, you go on for the next, let's say, three series after this. So you're taking at least what? So you're going to be up an extra two games, so you'll be four games above 500 by then.
Okay.
Yeah, at least. Yeah, I think you're going to see people flip back to the expectations. After just kind of thinking
about it. But then I hope that then if they flip back to the expectations, I hope that people flip back to the idea that we got some dead weight on this team that we need to not be giving at bats to.
But isn't that what the final 50-some games are about this year, other than winning?
Well, that in theory, yes, 100%. But that's the problem, is that we haven't seen them make the moves that adjust with that accordingly.
I mean, who are they for the people who want Nolan Jones DFA'd today? Who are they going to bring up? You want Jonathan Rodriguez back?
No, I told you my whole thing is Carlos Santana.
Yeah, but this.
I'm fine. Nolan Jones wants to continue getting at bats. That's I'm not calling for that right now.
Here's why Carlos is still here. It's the veteran part of this, and I don't agree with him getting reps with Manzardo, given where we are. And I even would like to see David Fry get every day at bats, given that you got to figure out what you're going to do with him next year, even though he'll be able to return to the field.
Mm-hmm.
But I at least can understand. Oh, Carlos is here and playing periodically. Or a fair amount because of the veteran side of this.
But you can still be the veteran leader from the bench, though. I mean, it's one of those deals where everything he offers up from a veteran standpoint, I throw him a couple Sunday games because we love those Sunday games. And then, he gets some opportunities instead of David Fry at the DH spot. And it doesn't completely zap him. But at this point, I don't need to see him play baseball again. But I can't even argue it I can't scream from the mountaintops for it because right now it just feels like, well, why are you doing that? Why bother?
Well, I just think to me, it's if you want to play Carlos four times a week, okay, and half of those times, or three of the four times, he's at first base, and Manzardo is DHing, okay. As long as the other days of the week, David Fry's DHing, and Manzo's playing first base, so you're getting him 6 days a week.
Yeah.
I just think that's such a, you're still getting Carlos meaningful reps, because I'm going a step further than you saying just a couple Sunday games. No, I'm saying we'll give you 4 days a week. But they're going to be you're at first base and Manzo's DHing. And then when Manzo's at first base, that means David Fry will be there. So you're really platooning DH and allowing Manzo to just get full-time hits.
I mean, if they got into the race, and Santana would never feel this way because he's such a big-time storied baseball career. But if they got further into the race, I'd almost want Santana to be like, okay, guys. I'll volunteer to take less opportunities and less at-bats because this is not for the betterment of the team. It would take a lot out of him. He'd never do it. But I would almost be clamoring for him to just take himself out because they're so hesitant to do so, and it's not helping this team at all.
The only thing is here, I'm gonna I'll co-opt this plan. I'll co-sponsor it with you, but you have to go into the Guardians clubhouse and pitch it to Carlos.
Yeah.
You have to do.
Will you come with me on that trip
you
too?
Have to, no.
Oh, no, that's a solo mission?
You have
hey,
to
Carlos, I don't go in the clubhouse anymore. Hey, Carlos, it's been 8 years since you've seen me in this clubhouse.
Yeah.
Nice to see you again. By the way,
for the betterment of the team,
we're going to watch a movie.
Yeah.
It's called Old Yeller.
Yeah.
And I'll bring
you're
the popcorn.
You're the dog here.
Tell him up front. We have to spell it out for him.
Front loaded. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe you don't tell him at the end. You go, does that remind you of anyone?
The dog is an allegory for your career.
Yeah.
Okay,
no.
Follow this from here to here.
I think I have finesse a little bit more. Carlos, does this remind you of anything that you can think of here? Like in
Carlos
your
is,
life?
He's crying because he just watches Old Yeller. He's just been tears.
Also, you got to call him Los. I don't know if that's even what he wants to be called, but that you assume the formality of Los, let's talk. But first, let's watch Old Yeller. You just let me know.
Yeah, this is going to go over. It's going to be great.
Or maybe it's the win one for the Gipper. What was that? The Pride of Notre Dame. Maybe watch that one. In this,
it'd just be an all day movie thing.
In this way, you've got the terminal illness and it's aging. in case you missed it, coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.